God, may my story and my words positively impact this room. That my experiences with you help others know your strength. Help me to accurately describe the influence you have had in my life. Amen. So, a little more background. I'm a corporate banker with PNC Bank. It's about the sixth largest bank in the country. I've got about seven people that work with me on my team, and we make loans to corporations between $10 to $100 million, and we do about 25 transactions a year, and so we're actually lending over $500 million, my group and myself. And it's usually associated with M&A. M&A stands for mergers and acquisitions, and we provide a lot of acquisition financing. And the thing that that you should know about that is that it requires immediate attention. It's a highly competitive environment, and everybody's money is green. And one way that you differentiate yourself is through extraordinary hustle. You have to be responsive immediately, because that's the culture of how a deal comes together. You have to respond immediately, and as a consequence, that's the world that I live in. And you have one of these devices that is basically hung around your neck, and I wake up in the morning and I see what's on the 100 emails that I get, and the texts and the voicemails, and I go to work from 8 to 5 or so, and when I come home, I'm still reading credit write-ups, and the last thing I do before I go to sleep is check my email and respond to a few other things. It ate me alive. It's all I thought about is work. I'm a workaholic, and didn't get a chance. By the way. That's my ringtone. Carmona Barrera. Also known as Fast and Furious. So that was my life, and it was eating me alive. And not only that, but I self-motivate myself with stress and worry. I'm one of those guys. I don't know why, but I've always done that. So I've done that all my life. I've been insecure, thinking about whatever it is that I accomplish. I'm totally insecure about my job, despite the fact that over the last 4 years, I've received the absolute best, significantly exceeds expectations, is the best rating that you can possibly have in my job. Got it for 4 years straight, and yet I worry about not doing the job well, not performing up to standards. I'm an anxiety-ridden mess. Comes out in my dreams and in the way I live my life. And so there you have it. There's the profile. So it's probably no real big surprise to you. I work hard and I play hard too. So it's probably no big surprise to you that that all came together in Durango, Colorado, when I was out with a bunch of my buddies on a boys' weekend out. And the combination of that being a workaholic and a stress-filled mess and continuously pushing and anxiety-ridden and in altitude, and the fact that I have a genetic irregular heartbeat, all those things came together. And in Durango, Colorado, I was at the craps table at the Indian casino with my buddies rolling dice. And one of my friends had just rolled a winning number, and apparently it was a 9. And we all high-fived, and they pushed the chips out at us, and I keeled over, essentially dead. My heart stopped beating, cardiac arrest, and called ventricular fibrillation. It's basically where the top and the bottom of your heart just start jiggling, and it doesn't pump, doesn't beat anymore. And first miracle was that there was somebody at the Indian casino who knew CPR and was on me in a matter of a minute. And not only that, but had an electronic defibrillator at his disposal, which immediately set forth to use. So, ba-boom, hits me once with the electronic defibrillator, ba-boom, hits me twice with the electronic defibrillator looking for a heartbeat. Then the ambulance comes. They take me to the hospital. Two times more, the electronic defibrillator to try and jumpstart and put my heart and put it in a regular rhythm. They get me into the CPR, and fortunately, it was a cardiac unit that was state of the art. And they one more time with the defibrillator, five times in total, and then they put me in a self-induced coma on a ventilator and life support to try and maintain a regular heartbeat and to hang on to my life. So I was drug-induced during that period of time and had no reflection of anybody that happened to be around me, but I was quite conscious and aware of my circumstances because I had nonstop nightmares while I was in this condition. My family and my daughters were there in the room, but I was completely unaware of that. And so for 5 days, I was in this condition and having nonstop nightmares. And, you know, I didn't see any white lights, and I didn't hover over my body. And none of that happened, but I was absolutely miserable because one of the things that they had going is a ventilator. A ventilator is a tube that goes down into your chest, and you would think that it would make it easy for you to breathe, but it's just the opposite. You can't breathe manually. It's breathing for you, and when you do try to breathe, it feels like you're being suffocated. And not only that, but they have clamps on your calves and on your arms that cramp down every 10 minutes to help circulate your blood, because you're basically in the deep freeze, just trying to recover. And I called that later on battling the octopus, because I could feel that thing clamp down on me, and I couldn't understand why that was happening, and it just it was absolute torture. And I will say that. My mother-in-law, Bernice, came to me in those nightmares as a soothing entity, and it was so welcome to see her, and what a relief it was. And it's just completely coincidence that she happens to be visiting us here and can hear this. I've already told her this, but it's really extraordinary that Bernice is here in the pew right now to hear this, and I kind of think of her as an angel. And the reason that I think that she's an angel is probably because she's shown me unconditional love ever since I've known her. And that's probably why she came to me in my nightmares. And I tell Carol that, and she says, man, I grew up with this woman for 25 years, and I'm telling you, absolutely not an angel. But to me, she's an angel. Next thing I knew, this is after a week in intensive care, unconscious. Next thing I knew, I heard a voice in my ear, and it was my guardian angel, Carol, saying, "Terry, things are going to be okay." And it was the first time I was semi-conscious, and I said, I've got this ventilator, you know, had split my lip, and it was all messed up. It hurt like hell, and that's the first time I felt that pain. I said, put some chapstick on my lips. And so she put some water and some chapstick on my lips. And we got into that pattern. She did that a couple of times, and it was very soothing. And just knowing that she was there, and that I was, that I had that kind of comfort was huge. And then I finally said to her, I said, Carol, it's like, I don't think I'm not gonna make it. Just cut me loose. And she said, we came into this life together, you and I, and we're going out together, so you're going to be fine. Just hang in. And so I thought about that, and, you know, this woman has been telling me what to do for 35 years. And I figured now's as good a time as any to follow what she's telling me. So I resolved at that moment to hang in and keep fighting. And next thing I knew, 24 hours later, I opened my crusty eyes and I looked around the room, and there was Carol and Stephanie and Cassandra. And they were looking at me like I was some kind of exotic zoo animal. And I opened my eyes and looked at them, and I said, thank God. Thank God I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another shot. My God, thank you. Oh, what I would have missed if I'd gotten taken out. Thanks for another shot in my life. And it was another shot in my life. And so another week passed. Had a couple of operations on my bladder and put a pacemaker and defibrillator in, and eventually they cut me loose from the CPR, and I was in the airport ready to go back to the Bay Area. And I'm sitting in a wheelchair with oxygen on, and I was from 2 weeks of muscle atrophy, laying in bed. I was all hunched over. And, you know, I had my bladder bag attached to my leg, and I'm hunched over in the airport, and Cassandra hands me an orange juice with the twist off top. Take the orange juice, and she said, here, Dad, let me help you. She grabs the orange juice from my hand, and with her forefinger and her thumb, twists off the top. Hands it back to me, and I'm like sitting there with this orange juice, and right at that moment, a little bit of drool came out from my mouth and dropped into my lap, and I thought to myself, boy, are you screwed, Terry. Boy, are you screwed. Sorry for the indelicate phraseology there, but that's exactly what I was thinking. And and I got home, and I took 2.5 months off from work. And I checked back in with God and said, boy, have I screwed this up. But you gave me another shot. And I know you were there for me. And so I'm checking back in. I need to make some changes. And I need your help. I need your guidance. And, you know, sure enough, God was there for me. It's not really a two-way conversation where I hear his voice. It's more a one-way conversation where I think about what it is that I'm doing in life, where I'm at. And some people might call it reflection. Some people might call it meditation. Some people might call it deductive reasoning. I choose to call it communicating with God through the lens of his world and what he wants with me. And that wisdom flows to me. And you're not going to be surprised to hear that God told me, stop prioritizing the work. You know, that's eating you alive. You're more than that to me. So deprioritize the work. Let go of the anxiety. You can forget about the anxiety. You don't need that to motivate yourself anymore. So forget about that. Start to take care of yourself. You know that work hard, the play hard part? Forget about the play hard part. You need moderation in your life. Get fit. Become fit. Be healthy. Live your life. And as importantly, continue to check in with me and love other people. Take time to connect with people that are coming down your path and into your life. Enjoy what I put out in the world for you, all the other people. It's an absolute joy, and you're missing it. So snap to and get yourself ready to embrace the joy of your new life. So that is really what God's message is to me. It allows me to reinvent myself, and allows me to get rid of these bad habits that I've accumulated in my life. It's absolutely coincidental that today's reading, Nicole asked me, well, what would you like as a theme for today's reading? And I said to her, I just said, whatever's in the rotation. And I thought it was pretty extraordinary that the reading completely coincided with kind of my story to you right now, and the fact that I've motivated myself with worry and stress. As Matthew tells us today, that therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. For tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Hallelujah. That is what it's all about. Awkward pause. I'm sorry. I left my phone on. This will just be a second. Hello, this is Harry.
Yeah.
It's who? Okay. You want me to tell them what? So that was God. He told me to tell you that he loves you.